Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Being then the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Here ends our reading. The doors were in the locked down position for fear of the Jews. We know that feeling at home, don't we? We don't lock up in fear of those Jewish authorities who would have, in the first century, gladly sent the disciples of Jesus to the cross, just as surely as they did the Lord himself. No, our doors are locked in fear of viral outbreak, contagion, plague, death. Death, which is the same fear that the disciples had. A trip to the grocery store or the gas station feels like a death-defying stunt to be survived. St. Thomas was not present that first Easter evening. Perhaps he was out braving the marketplace for supplies. It was a joy to see many members of Emmanuel take advantage this week of the scheduled communions that were offered. Time after time, you expressed to me, and we expressed back, the fact that it was nice to see people in the flesh and not through a camera. A few of you came in time slots with no one else signed up, and I could see the briefest twinge of disappointment when that would happen. People hoping maybe to see one or two fellow Christians alongside, of course, at the proper social distancing. And we've locked away all the children, too, in this viral outbreak. I think the children suffer most of all. We've locked our children away from each other, except for their own siblings. And I think the children miss out most on social interaction with their peers at this sad time. And our Christian children miss seeing their fellow Christians of all ages here at the Divine Service. It's a big part of growing up to be strong adults and faithful Christians, for children to be with their fellow Christians. But it's all happening for the same basic reason, isn't it? We are in the same boat as the disciples on that first Easter evening, behind locked doors for fear of death. Yet on Easter evening, and again a week later, Jesus comes to confront that fear. He enters when and where he pleases. He needs no door. The resurrected Jesus Christ simply makes himself known where we are hurting, where we are afraid, where we are tempted, where we are lonely, where we have nowhere to turn. What does Jesus do when he appears behind the locked doors to confront this fear of death? First, out of his mouth, he speaks peace upon you. Peace be with you. Eternal peace is announced with God the Father. Reconciliation with God that he has earned. The angels said on Christmas night, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Not just a peace held together by political or military or by any other earthly force. This peace cannot be taken away or taken back. Peace with no strings attached. Peace that surpasses all understanding, the apostle says. You are forgiven of your sin. You have the way open to eternal life in heaven on account of the shedding of Jesus' holy, precious blood in his innocent suffering and death on your behalf. You stand righteous before God. Peace be with you. Second, Jesus shows his hands and his side. He is the crucified one. Pilate said on Good Friday, "Behold the man." But on Easter evening, it was the disciples they could see in the way that was talked about by Job the prophet. "Yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him and not another. My heart faints within me." The disciples see the true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, also true man born of the Virgin Mary, the one who has redeemed them from lost and condemned over to righteous, innocent, blessed. And this one is their Lord. What a joyful thing to say. He is my Lord. Then the disciples were caused to rejoice when Jesus showed them his hands and his side. They had seen the Lord, their Lord, my Lord. But you and I were not there that night. That's why Jesus gave the apostles his Holy Spirit, to breathe out this good news of this peace that is given by the crucified and resurrected Christ to the very ends of the earth, pronouncing on Jesus' behalf the forgiveness of sins to every believer, all whom he gathers into his holy Christian church through the call of the gospel. This stanza of salvation unto us has come summarizes this preaching very well, reminds you of Jesus coming into the room. It says, "The law reveals the guilt of sin and makes us conscience-stricken, but then the gospel enters in the sinful soul to quicken. Come to the cross, trust Christ, and live. The law no peace can ever give, no comfort, and no blessing." The same Jesus Christ comes today into this sanctuary and into your homes behind your locked doors with his peace-giving eternal gospel. You can't see him for now. That's for the last day upon your resurrection when you'll see in that Job-like way. But it is the same living Christ that you see now by faith with the same message of peace for you who works through his word, preached by the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Thomas was out getting the groceries, remember? Braving it. We too easily and too often call him Doubting Thomas. And some of our hymns, even today's hymn of the day, says so in our hymnal. But instead, maybe Thomas ought to be thought of a little differently. He is perhaps how you should be in your homes and in your hearts this day. Not doubting, but be insisting Thomas. Insisting Thomas, who insists on seeing and hearing from the same resurrected, crucified Christ that the other apostles saw and heard from. "You say that you have seen him, fellow disciples," Thomas seems to say. "But I tell you, unless I have seen with my own eyes the resurrected and crucified, spirit-giving Christ, whom you have seen and looked upon, whom am I going to believe in? What else is there? He is the only one I can believe in. I must have that same vision, O disciples, as you did, because you have been given to see the resurrected Jesus as in fact he comes to us, as the one who still bears in his body the trophies of his passion, And unless I see him as well, I am not really a part of your group. I'm not really a part of the church. Doesn't seem Thomas is doubting the fact of the resurrection. Instead, Thomas insists upon the grabbing hold of the one who has ascended to the Father, who was lifted up from the earth in order to draw all men to himself, which is this mysterious glory of Jesus' crucifixion. Thomas, too, wants to see that day of the living Christ, who was crucified for his trespasses and raised again for his justification. And he did, as we heard this Sunday after Easter, on this day many years ago, he rejoiced and he confessed, "My Lord and my God." You too, out there listening, wherever you may be, and those of you gathered here, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, be insistent, Thomas. Insist to grab hold of the resurrected, crucified one through faith in the words and promises of Jesus Christ. Who else is there to believe in? Who else has defeated death itself and has overcome every fear? Who else brings lasting and eternal peace? Who else went to the cross and endured all things for you to be forgiven? And when I grab hold of that, by grace, through faith, I will confess that one to be my Lord and my God. That man is the one to rejoice in with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. To partake of Christ through faith is to even now possess what is promised, what is hoped for, the same glorified, resurrected, free from pain, free from heartache, free from loneliness, free from isolation, free from grief, free from illness, free from pandemic, free from death body. That is, you have Jesus' promise to be a partaker with him of eternal life, to become like him in every way. For one day, Christ will enter into another locked room, your grave, and he will wake you up, and he will change your lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Hence, all fear and sadness, for the Lord of gladness, Jesus, he enters in. Those who love the Father, though the storms may gather, still have peace within. Yea, whatever I here must bear, thou art still my purest pleasure, O Jesus, priceless treasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.